You're listening to the Heroes Podcast Network.
Hello, all you friendly Force users, and welcome to another episode of Echo Station Podcast, the Mando Fetso. I am Ian, and I'm joined by my lovely co-host, Chris.
Hello, friends.
And today we're talking about episode 2 and episode 3 of The Mandalorian. Both great in their own rights, but I think we like episode 3 better.
I think we have some obvious favorites.
Is that a clear consensus that we like episode 3 better than episode 2?
Yeah, I mean. I hate to say that I have a favorite child, but clearly I have a favorite child.
Yeah, it's the third one, right now, at least. Before we do that, we got a little bit of news. Let's start with the cheery stuff first, yes?
Yes.
Yeah. So Hasbro has officially announced new Black Series figures, and they've finally announced that they're doing an Asajj Ventress Black Series figure.
She's beautiful.
After years of fans, like, clamoring and saying they want this, they're finally getting it.
It's gonna be great.
I was so happy to finally see this, because I'm like, oh good, they're actually recognizing this character more.
Yeah, I think it's one I might have to add to my collection.
Agreed.
I've been trying to not buy so many figures, but I'm like,
Well, now we just need her as a Funko Pop, and then everything will be fine.
It'll be so cute.
Everything will be fine and dandy. So, go to the Hasbro Instagram page, and they've shown off a bunch of the new figures. There's like a Moff Gideon, there's new Stormtroopers, I believe there's a Jawa, I think, or something, I don't know. But one that obviously we care about is the Ventress figure. Everything else can burn in a fire. We don't care. it's whatever. We know that Jawas are very flammable from episode 4, so.
This is true.
Yeah. In other news, oh boy,
all right, so strap in, folks. all right, so if you listened to our rumors and gossip episode about The Mandalorian, then this kind of ties back into that, circling back a bit here. So our dear Gina Carano has got herself in hot water again, because the woman can't keep her mouth shut.
Nope.
And she announced on her Twitter she has joined Parler. And for those of you not in the social media pop culture, no, Parler is basically Twitter for fascists. It didn't start this way, but this is how it has become. Because they do not, the fascists would call it censoring. Twitter, like, unlike Twitter, they will not take down a post just because it's controversial, just because it involves racism or, or homophobia or misinformation. Nope. They're cool with everything. They're cool with everything. So there has been a mass exodus of extraordinarily right-wing leaning people to this app, Parler, so they can say whatever the fuck they want. So our dear Gina decided that she needed to also get in on this.
Yeah. And let us preface this by saying that, you know, Chris and I are obviously, you know, on the liberal side, clearly.
I am super progressive.
But, you know, we also, you know, respect the fact that people can, you know, think whatever they want to, they can say whatever they want to. We're not, you know, trying to dog people for saying what they're saying, necessarily. But, like,
Here's the thing. You know what? I'm happy that people feel the freedom to say these things because I like my fascist out in the open and not hiding in the shadows. I like to know who the bad guys are. You know? I like to know who the bad guys are.
That's fair.
Yeah.
So, she officially announced that she's on Parler. And we saw her liking a bunch of stuff around the election, obviously, and all that good stuff. So here's my thing. Do you think Disney's going to do anything about this?
Oh, they're going to cut her loose.
Really?
I think it's going to become too controversial. She's not. I don't think they're going to hand her more roles. I think they probably sideline Kara, if not kill her off. I think it's too hot for them to touch right now. You know, everything.
Yeah, because Disney doesn't like drama.
No, they don't like drama, and they are, you know, like it or not, they are a liberal leaning corporation. And this looks bad. This looks bad for them. This goes against the brand that they're representing right now, that, you know, that they are working and putting out there, and that they've transformed into in the last decade. So it's not worth it. I mean, she's nobody. She's nobody to them. They can
easily. Do you think that they put the brakes on the Cara Dune solo series?
Oh, I would assume. Yeah, I would assume. I think the only reason that we're getting her now is because they'd already filmed everything before the initial controversy came out.
Season 2 had already been filmed for a while.
Yeah.
And season 3 is supposed to be filming either now or very, very soon.
Yeah.
So, I don't know.
Yeah, so I wouldn't expect, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if rewrites came in and Miss Carano finds herself out of a job.
Yeah, which, I mean, it sucks because, like we said before, we like the character of Cara Dune.
Like the character? I liked her. I liked Gina Carano. I think, she had a cool, interesting career. She represented a different type of femininity that you didn't really see very often in Hollywood. So this really sucks. It sucks that she's not a great person.
Yeah, it's sad.
But it is what it is. So along those lines, if you'd like to continue.
Good Lord. Another one, which this one just broke tonight, which is, we're recording this Sunday, by the way. We're on the 15th of November. So James Arnold Taylor, who voices Obi-Wan Kenobi in basically anything that Ewan McGregor doesn't do.
Yeah.
a Parler account as well. He said that he got it back in July.
Yeah.
And he said that he just thought it was like another form of social media that he wanted to get. He has since deleted his account because of people finding out about it and then going like, hey, what's this?
Yeah.
So he put out like a 3-minute long video too. It's on his Twitter right now, saying, you know, this isn't, you know, me. This isn't who I am. I'm sorry, basically. And that he did delete his account. And I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt. And I'm going to say that he legit didn't really know what was going on.
Yeah. I mean, this was before he joined. It seems like he did join up before it really became a bastion for hate speech.
Yes. And he joined, I think he's around like June or July of this year. So.
So, yeah. Until we know more, I'll give him a pass.
I don't think he's not a Gina Carano.
No, I don't think so.
For sure. So what comes of it, I don't know. Hopefully nothing. Like I said, he deleted it. He said he's sorry. So he's not doing what Gina's doing, which is still retweeting and tweeting and then, you know, playing it off as it's nothing.
Yeah.
So he's at least owning up to it and saying, hey, my bad. So I commend that. I'll take that. But like we said, it's still developing. It just broke today. So when you hear about, when you listen to this episode on Wednesday, it may have just blown over completely or more may have come from it by then. I don't know. So we'll see.
We shall see.
Yes. Other than that.
Yeah. When it comes to Gina, sorry, Gina, this is not the way.
No. No. And like I said, we love Cara Dune. That's a really fun character, but it's just not a good image for Disney right now to have that be happening with your employees.
Exactly.
So we'll see what comes of that, too. I don't know. Maybe nothing, maybe something. Who the hell knows? But that about wraps us up for the news section, at least. Do you have anything else to add? Because I don't think I have anything else to add.
I don't believe so. No, that's it.
Okay, well, that's it. We're gonna take a quick break, guys, and then when we come back, we're going to do a deep dive into episode 2 of The Mandalorian, so stay tuned. And we're back! So let's talk episode 2, shall we?
Yes, yay!
Was directed by Peyton Reed, and it was fantastic.
It was very enjoyable. It was a wild ride, and you know, of all of the random episodes to become super controversial,
this was the one,
and suddenly everybody's on the hate Baby Yoda train,
which is ridiculous. And we'll get to that. Trust me, we're gonna fully discuss that. But let's talk about this episode. Let's talk about what we liked. So I'm gonna let you go first.
So this is a very, kind of insular episode. Like, there's not a lot of set differences. You know, it kind of happens in only really, in like, three places. So, you know, we intro in Tatooine, and then we're on the ship, and then we're on another planet. Then we're back in the ship. So there's not a lot going on, as in, like, going places the way we did in the very first episode. We're back in Mos Eisley, Mando's still looking for more of his kind, and so he's asking around, and Amy Sedaris she said she has intel on this, but basically he's going to have to, like, do her a favor by transporting this woman who needs to get to another planet for reasons. And she's very, you know, she's very trusting. She trusts her a whole lot, right? Super trustful.
Basically, he becomes an Uber.
Yes, he becomes an Uber. Yes. Oh my God, that's totally what it is. It's Razor Crest Uber. So we meet this woman who is like, I don't know, like the fire spirit from Frozen 2 in giant anamorph form.
She's like a gecko.
She's a gecko, and she's adorable. And she does not speak basic. She understands it, but she doesn't speak it. Also, Amy Sedaris speaks whatever crazy gecko language this gecko person speaks, which was really entertaining. So her whole deal is that she has a spouse on a nearby planet, and she has to get her eggs that she's keeping in this like little fish tank to her spouse so that he can fertilize them. Otherwise their line will end. And she's on a time crunch. And the caveat to him taking her there is that they cannot enter hyperspace. Correct?
Am I remembering correct? Right? Or else the eggs like explode or something like that. I think.
Because the eggs will be force unusable. Or something. Yeah.
Yeah. So they have to go at sublight speed, I believe.
So they have to go sublight speed. But she says that her husband knows of other Mandalorians on this planet that they're correct. Headed to. So Mando's all in. Like, this is crazy, whatever, but he's all in to be an Uber driver.
It's right. What he is. He's a glorified Uber driver, which is hilarious.
Yes. All right, why don't you pick up from there?
So he's in the space, he's just zooming along. And all of a sudden, he is being tailed by two New Republic X-Wing fighters.
Yes!
And we don't really get to see who they are just yet. We just hear commotion. You know, they're saying, hey, why isn't your transponder on? What's going on, sir? And he's like, oh, my ship is old.
Yeah, totally meant to do that. I'll get that taillight fixed pronto.
Yeah, it basically is what it is. And he is like, yeah, I'll get it fixed. Like, well, you can fix it now. And he's like, okay. Sure. Yeah,
it's like the equivalent of the police officer being like, well, I'll follow you to the gas station and you can fix it there.
Right. So we find out that the X-Wing pilots, they're played by a gentleman by the name of Paul Sun Hung Lee as Captain Carson Teva. And we have our very own Dave Filoni coming back as Trapper Wolf.
It was so cool.
And he doesn't look nearly as uncomfortable as he does in season one when he's acting. So he looks way better.
Yeah. But it was really exciting to see a couple of X-Wings pull up. All badass, you know, like, we run this mother now.
Yeah, and so basically they're saying, you know, you're in New Republic territory, you gotta have your transponder on, and Mando's like, fuck you! And so he zooms down and crashes into an ice cavern, I guess is what you would call it, trying to evade the X-Wings, and he's like, well...
Do we know what planet it is, by the way? Do we ever get...
Yeah, apparently it's the same ice planet that we saw in season one in the very first episode.
Oh, really? Interesting.
Yeah, that's what I've read. I don't know if that's actually true or not, but that's apparently what it is. It's not Ilum as everyone thought it was.
It's not Ilum, and it's not Hoth.
No, it's a new ice planet, people. There's new ice planets. Another
ice planet.
So he crash lands, and he's like, hey... Sorry about that. But at the same time, he finds out Baby's doing not some nice stuff.
Oh, yeah. So meanwhile, while they're, like, napping... Okay, because, you know, they're going sublight speed and stuff, right? So they're napping, and they're trying to, you know, make the time pass. Well, we know that Baby Yoda is a carnivore, and he is insatiable. So he sees this aquarium full of some tasty snacks. Like... Baby Yoda's down to get some space caviar. So,
and he eats a lot of them.
Yeah, so when nobody else is looking, he's just sitting there and he's just popping them in his mouth like a bunch of Pringles.
Yeah, and so this is what everyone like flip shit about, because they're like, he's eating their line, he's eating their lineage.
Yeah.
Which is true, he is.
Yeah, he is.
But also, don't forget that these eggs are unfertilized, much like, you know, chicken eggs that we eat.
They're unfertilized, so it's literally like space caviar. Okay, it's literally like eating caviar. Two, he's a toddler, and just like my toddler, if he finds shit on the ground, he's going to eat it. Because that's what toddlers do. They are insane.
Yeah, so people are, like, they're saying they're canceling Baby Yoda, and I'm like... No, you're not.
No, you're not.
You're not gonna... Shut up. You're not canceling Baby Yoda, but okay.
I thought it was hilarious.
And we actually had a poll up about this.
Yes.
And overwhelmingly, people have voted that people are far too sensitive.
Yes. Like, some sensitivity is fine, guys, but come on. Come on.
It tied for he's a killer and it's like eating chicken eggs, but those two tied.
I kind of wanted to put he's a killer.
He's a murderer.
Just because it was funny, but he's not.
But like the fact that Lucasfilm had to address this is very sad because people are far too sensitive.
Yeah, no. Okay, guys, you can be upset about Gina Carano being an asshole, but you can't be upset about Baby Yoda eating caviar. I'm sorry.
Right.
No. No, just no. Pick a lane.
pick one, folks. And so he, it's ridiculous that Lucasfilm also had to like come in and be like, hey, we want it. It's, you know, dark humor, and that's what I loved about it. It's really fucked up dark humor, and it's very funny to me.
Yeah,
he's just popping them left and right, just like eggs, and he's a growing child.
He's
so.
A growing boy.
He's a growing baby, so it makes sense. But yeah, so they crash land, and basically, he's like, I gotta try and fix the ship, and the little frog lady's like, alright, I'm gonna go hop in a hot spring.
Yeah, apparently. Okay, so the ship is just decimated. Like, gaping holes. It's freezing cold. Also, by the way, how lucky are they that they crashed on a planet that has atmosphere? That they can breathe?
All right.
I mean, that's some force luck there.
Yes. So, here, you continue, because this is
okay, yeah, so good. She's, you know, everybody's freezing. She's a gecko. It's got to be even worse for her. And her, you know, and her little aquarium of caviar. So, her caviar children. So she wanders off into this frozen cave and somehow manages to find a hot spring. Again, really lucky. So she, you know, disrobes and we have naked gecko space lady in the hot spring with her babies that she's poured out into the hot spring, and she's all chillaxing. And so Mando comes over and he finds her and he's like, yeah, this is not cool.
Yeah.
we gotta go. Get your babies. We gotta go.
You put your clothes on now.
Yeah. Put your damn clothes on. So the child is off, you know, being the child, you know, he's eyeing the floating caviar in the hot springs. And Mando's like, don't even think about it. Don't do that.
Right.
So he wanders off.
She doesn't know yet that he's been eating the eggs. Like, Mando knows, but she does not know that he has been eating her children.
So, child wanders off, and he finds himself in, like, some Skyrim-style dungeon with a bunch of other egg-looking things, which immediately had, like, red flags and warning bells going off in my head because of the immense amount of video games I've played in my life.
It reminded me very much, actually, of the movie Aliens.
And similar, yep, very similar to that, yep.
Because the way the eggs were shaped and how they were all, like, clustered together and stuff like that.
Yeah. So we tapped in one, and it was all gooey, yucky, and, you know, like a thing inside. And this is when it's revealed that it is a giant freaking ice planet spider. And these are all her babies. They're everywhere.
People were very triggered by this episode.
Oh, I basically did not watch this episode after this point.
Did you really not?
Yeah, no, I had to look away. I am super triggered by spiders. I do not like spiders.
Oh, well.
The only spider I can handle is a tarantula because they are fuzzy and cute. And that's it.
And
every other spider can fuck off. Kill it with fire.
So, oh, well, then I guess I'll take over then, shall I?
So please take over, because I don't actually know completely what happened.
So, oh my god, this is hilarious. So, basically, yeah, the mama and I'm assuming the papa spider, which, by the way, these spiders, they are concept designs from what Ralph McQuarrie did for spiders on Dagobah.
Yes, that was a fantastic Empire callback.
And they actually became canon again when they were on the show Rebels. Rebels, they had them in there for, like, I think, an episode or two. Ezra controls them with the Force or whatever he does. So, yeah, to see them, though, on an ice planet is really cool.
Yeah.
So basically all the eggs hatch, and it's just, I'm very glad you didn't watch this because you would have been traumatized, because the spiders just, like, swarm everyone.
Oh god. Oh yeah. No.
And the big spiders come down, crashing down from, like, the ceiling basically, and start chasing after Mando and Gecko and Baby. Which, by the way, one of the funniest things is Mando saying, "Hey, we gotta go," and then the Gecko lady using her tongue to get the clothes, and not, like, 10 seconds later, coming back fully dressed and, like, wrapped up. I'm like,
wait. Oh, yeah, that was hilarious. I was like, damn, she is a master of the quick change.
That's very quick, ma'am. But anyway, so they're running. Mando, at one point, uses his flamethrower to torch them all.
See?
He kills, I think he kills one adult spider, but then, like, the other one starts attacking them, and then all the babies get inside the Razor Crest, so he basically seals himself off, and he seals them up in the cockpit.
Yeah.
And he thinks they're safe eventually, but then, like, the big mama spider comes crashing down, breaking the glass of the cockpit, and basically almost eating everyone, until all of a sudden you hear all this blaster fire. And you're like, what doubt that be? What is that? And so, turns out the two X-Wings found them, and they are parked, and the pilots are out there just taking pot shots at all the spiders.
Now, how bored were they that they stuck around?
probably very bored.
They were super bored. You know, they've been patrolling for weeks and been like, damn it, nothing happens out here. And
oh, yeah.
Something happens and we are not letting it go.
Yeah, and so it was fun also seeing Dave Filoni shoot at spiders.
Yes.
It was very funny. So finally, you know, Mando's like, okay, well, can you help me patch the ship? They go, no, but you can fix that transponder. And they just leave him.
Fuck off.
Yeah, basically. And I'm like, ugh. Okay.
Yeah, so...
So...
How did he fix it?
He didn't fix it. That's the thing. He goes, okay, well, I can pressurize the cabin to where it can just be us in here, and we can just drift, basically, to the planet.
But I thought they were in... I thought they were in the cockpit when they land on the next planet.
They are. That's how they stay in there. They can only stay in the cockpit because everything else is wide open and torn open. So they can't go inside the ship.
I thought the giant spider had broken the glass in the cockpit.
I guess he must have patched it that at least. No, you're not.
Okay. Well, but how did he do that? How does he have all the supplies to do this? How is he even flying?
I don't know. Honestly, the Razor Crest takes a huge beating, like, within, like, an hour of each. Like, it's this poor ship.
I don't know. I don't understand why he wouldn't just be like, bye-bye, I'm gonna buy a new ship now, because, I mean, is there
needs a new one.
An equivalent of space totaled? Like, because I'm pretty sure the Razor Crest is totaled.
Oh,
can you write it off on your spacecraft insurance and just buy a new Razor Crest?
That would be fantastic if they could, but yeah, no, it's totally totaled.
I'm so incredulous about how this thing is even able to fly.
It even makes it even funnier with how it got repaired in episode 3, because that just makes me laugh.
Oh my god, I know. Yeah, and we'll get to that.
So basically, yeah, he takes off begrudgingly and very carefully, and they start to drift slowly towards the planet with Gecko Lady's husband.
Yes.
And little baby Yoda is on Mando's lap, and they just pan to him, and he's just sitting there.
Everybody and then all of a sudden,
everyone else is sleeping. Yeah, he just has his little hand and slowly comes up, and there's an egg, and he just goes, oh, and eats it. Yeah, and then credits. I'm like, oh my god.
They tripled down on that.
Yeah. Like you said, this episode didn't really move the plot along a whole lot, but it was still a fun episode until the spiders
came
out.
You know, like we talk about a lot, this series is very much world building and character building, which as an episodic adventure series based in the Star Wars universe, it absolutely should be. You know, I mean, this is like, you know, it's like live action Clone Wars here. We're going to get episodes that don't necessarily move the plot, but do give us a lot more information about the universe that we're playing in and the characters that occupy that universe. And I'm all for that. Is it, you know, necessarily as exciting as, say, episode 1 and 3 were? No, but it's still very fun.
Yeah, I liked it. And I liked also the set design for this, the ice caverns.
Oh yeah, super cool.
It was very fun.
CGI was terrifying enough that I did not watch half of the episode.
And like I said, this episode was directed by Peyton Reed, who did who actually did both of the Ant-Man movies.
Oh, cool. I did not realize
so, that. We got some MCU directorial debut in, besides Taika Waititi, have Peyton Reed. Well, and Jon Favreau, I guess. So you have three now.
Technically, yes.
So, what would you give episode 2?
Like a 5... I think I'm kind of biased because of the spiders, because I really, really hate spiders. But that's not their fault. It's not their fault. But yeah, 5. You know, good world building. You know, more characterization of Mando. You know, he's pretty. He puts himself on a path. He agrees to do something, and then he will see it through. Come hell or high water, he will see it through.
That's very true. It's very commendable of him.
Yes.
I would give this episode probably a 7 out of 10.
Okay, cool.
Because the spiders didn't really bother me that much. I thought they were kind of a cool design and look. Now, if I were to see one of those in real life, I'd be scared shitless, but they don't exist, so meh. And also, I love the fact that Baby Yoda just trolled everyone and ate the eggs. That's the best part of the episode. Oh, also, we forgot to mention that Richard Ayoade comes back as the droid bounty hunter from the first one when she learned how to communicate with Mando with him.
I don't remember that, but okay.
So I forgot to mention that he comes back as well for a brief little cameo, and it's always good to see him and stuff because I like him. Okay, so that wraps up episode 2, and we're going to take another short little break. And when we come back, we will discuss episode 3. So stay tuned, guys. All right, so we are on to episode 3.
This is a huge episode. Huge.
Focus on episode 3. Excuse me. That was, excuse me.
Yeah.
Was that premature?
Exactly. Yeah, you kind of prematurely ejaculated all over that episode.
Did I jump the gun?
just a tweet.
Excuse me.
Oh my god, there's so much to this episode that I love that weren't even the two big things that happened in this episode. There was just a bunch of stuff that I loved.
Oh yeah. So let's break down this episode, shall we?
Yep, let's do it. Okay, who directed this episode?
Bryce Dallas Howard.
Ba-da-bing.
So not only did she give us the introduction of Cara Dune in season 1, but she's giving us the introduction of fucking Bo-Katan.
Yes.
In this season.
She's got the power move females down pat.
She needs to direct more things for Star Wars, and
she just
I think
needs
everyone
to direct
who listens
more things,
agrees.
Period, because she's amazing.
Also
true. Her.
Okay, so start us down this road of episode 3.
Okay, so it's important to know that Bryce Dallas Howard directed this episode because so we enter the episode of them coming in hot, basically, to this planet that they have limped to from the ice planet. And Mando's basically like, all right, we've got to enter the atmosphere and let's just hope we don't burn up because, you know, the ship is in shambles. The only part that is livable in the ship right now is the cockpit, which they somehow miraculously were able to fix. So then what we get is a beautiful homage to the reentry scene from Apollo 13, which was directed by Bryce Dallas Howard's father.
Papa Howard.
Sorry, what? Yeah, Ron Howard.
Papa
Howard, yeah. So that was really, really cool. You know, you've got the condensation on the cockpit windows and the, you know, the flaming up around the belly of the ship as they re-enter, and it's so cool. It's so cool. So that was a really nice cinematographic nod to cinema history and to family relations between the Howards. Very cool. So obviously they do make it onto what appears to be like mostly a water planet.
So it's like a fisherman's wharf, basically.
Yeah. Yeah. So they basically they come into like New England.
Not you called it New England.
Well, yeah. Okay. So they come into New England. They, you know, they land on this.
They land in New England.
They land in space New England, where there's a bunch of Mon Calamari and stuff wearing.
Which, by the way.
Yeah, go ahead.
So before you say anything, I absolutely love, first off, the practical effects for the Mon Calamari and the Quarrens, that they're all, like, real people and they're not CGI.
Oh, yeah. They're gorgeous. They look wonderful. And it's funny, because they are wearing fisherman's cable-knit sweaters.
That, you know, that's going to be, like, one of the top cosplays at Celebration.
I love it. I love it so much. I immediately thought, like, could I knit that? I could knit that.
Like, you have fisherman sweaters and, like, overalls and shit, and this is the best thing ever.
It's fantastic. All right, so they come in hot and they end up basically falling off of the landing dock into the water, and the Mon Calamari, who are just, you know, the dock workers, are just standing around shaking their head like, what a dumbass, we're gonna have to deal with this, obviously. They get fished out by this giant crane thing, which was super
cool. By the way, It's on, if you notice, they're on, like, Imperial Walker legs.
That's what I was wondering. I was wondering that. I was like, because it looked very reminiscent of a Walker. And
it looked it like they just sense. Cut a Walker basically in half, or on the top part, just cut it off, and then put, like, a crane operator on there.
It would make sense if it was either repurposed technology or just, like, similar technology that the Empire also used. Either way, very cool. Very, very cool visual. Mm-hmm. So they bring him up. They get off. They deplane. Whatever you want to say.
They deplane.
They deplane. Mando tosses some credits at this poor New Englander Mon Calamari in his fisherman's sweater, and he's like, "Fix her up."
And he's like, "Okay, sure,
okay, yeah." And then
we
and
see
then...
we see little Gecko Lady reunite with Gecko her husband, which. I think this is, like, the happiest ending we've ever gotten in a Star Wars anything.
It was super adorable. I will point out that I was a little annoyed that they were pointlessly gendered because she was pink and he was blue.
Oh, I didn't even notice that.
Yeah. I know. I see that kind of stuff everywhere. And I was like, oh my god, I can't believe he's blue and she's pink. Oh, who did this? Who did this?
who did this?
Who did this?
But, like, super it's pink. Like...
They're so cute.
It's like the best love story Star Wars has ever had, and that says something.
Yeah, it is. It is. It was so much, such a better love story than Padme and Anakin.
It is. Sorry, guys.
Yes, so I stand Gecko family forever. But
and
yeah,
so they get reunited, but then they also go, so Mando then goes to, I guess, a bar and grill.
Well, I mean, Gecko Papa points him the way, because that was the whole thing. Like, he would bring her there, and they knew where the other Mandos were, and so the male Gecko was like, go to the chowda.
Yes, which, if this is, like, Star Wars New England, what is their chowder made out of?
Obviously, whatever those weird tentacle things, I don't know. Space chowder.
Is it that, or is it, like, other Mon Calamari that just, like, died?
It is. It's
oh,
all...
no. It's a circle of life, Simba.
Yes. Soylent Green. Yes.
Yes. So he goes to, like, this cantina bar and grill area, and they, like, dispense chowder through, like, a hose in the ceiling, which is disgusting.
And every New Englander is like, where can I get me one of these?
Right. And so he learns about a person who... knows about some Mandalorians and whatnot, and so he's like, come with me on my ship.
Yeah, so he points out, like, Cthulhu kind of guys.
Yeah, they're the Quarren.
Yeah. Who I like to and call the Cthulhu guys, because, come on, they're Cthulhu guys.
That's fair. And we've seen them before in Return of the Jedi and other Clone Wars episodes and all that stuff, so it's great to see them more in a live-action setting. And so he goes on, like, this... you know,
it's like a trawl boat.
Fisherman's, yeah, basically. And by the way, this is still all shot, like, basically, I think, on the soundstage.
That's crazy.
I think so, especially, like, the fisherman, like, the docks and stuff. It is insane of what they can do with this technology, and I find it blows my mind every single time I see an episode like this.
That's really awesome.
But turns out the Quarren just want the Mando for his armor. And so they punt the baby into the Kraken creature.
Yeah, it was like a like water sarlacc, like aqua sarlacc.
Yeah. Aqua sarlacc.
Aqua sarlacc, yeah.
And so literally kicks him in there. And then it eats the baby.
Yeah.
And we're just like, what? What? And Mando's trying, and they're trying to, like, to stab the Mando with their, like, fishing hook spear things. And then all of a sudden, three of them, like, drop dead. And the gate opens up, and who do we see reaching out their hand to Mando? Bo motherfucking Katan.
Yes.
When I saw her helmet, because I'm like, oh, that's Bo. I know. Screamed. It was
so
a moment.
Screaming. I was super excited, so my 8-year-old and I, who watched the Clone Wars together, we, like, grabbed each other and started jumping up and down and shouting. And my husband was like, what is happening?
What is the significance?
Yeah, and we're both yelling, it's Bo-Katan! And he's like, okay, but why is that significant?
Yeah, people who haven't seen, like, the Clone Wars and Rebels and stuff, they really, you really need to see at least a few episodes regarding these characters, or else you're not going to care about what's going on half the time.
So yeah, I had to give him, like, the too long didn't read of Bo-Katan.
Yeah. And so, okay, so you take it from here, because you go.
Yeah, so, and then, they basically quickly dispatch of, Cthulhu people, and, one of them dives in, and rescues Baby Yoda's, pram pod, which we can assume, immediately shut upon danger. Like, Baby Yoda's got the whole shut the prom, shut the pod down. so they open it up, and it's dented, but he's fine. He's fine. You know. Little knockdown, but he's fine. And then they remove their helmets. And of course we get, you know, the actual...
And Mando gets all offended by that.
Well, we get one that is Bo freaking Katan. And Katie Sackhoff.
Who is, we should say, fantastic. Yes, played by Katie Sackhoff.
She looks perfect for this role.
Yes. Katie Sackhoff also, if you don't know this, she voiced Bo-Katan in The Clone Wars and Rebels. And the fact, I think she's the first person who voiced a character in an animated series to also play them in a live-action format.
I don't know. I guess. Maybe.
I think because we got Saw Gerrera in Rogue One, but he was not played by the same person who voiced him, obviously. It was Forrest Whitaker.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I think she's the first one.
Throwaway character or not, but... Yeah, so that was pretty, you know, fantastic. You know, if you're a big sci-fi fan, you're probably already a fan of Katie Sackhoff, just because of Babylon. I almost said Babylon 5. yeah, I don't know. So yeah, she's super cool. My husband kept wondering when the Cylons were going to show up. Obviously, the Cylons are not going to show up. so we get Bo-Katan revealed, and then... The second female Mandalorian was the mysterious figure, both from the previews, the teaser previews, and we found out that she was like observing them on the dock when they first came in.
Yes, and she's played by Mercedes Vernando.
Yes, she is the mysterious hooded figure. Turns out to be one of the Mandalorians.
Sabine.
Yeah, no, not Sabine. Not Sabine and not Ahsoka.
No, idiots.
No. So they take their helmets off and Mando's about to throw a conniption because this is not the way.
He's gonna have an aneurysm.
Yeah, so he has like a mini Mando aneurysm and is all, you know, up in their grill about, you know, this is not the way. What are you doing? You can't remove your helmet, blah, blah, blah. And they're all like, oh, you're one of those.
And yes, we find out finally, that he's a child of the Watch.
Yes, so we get reveal that the reason Mando's Mandalorian canon is so different from anything we've ever known before about the Mandalorians is because he's basically part of a religious zealot group that broke away.
Yes, and they want to go back to the old ways. No one sees your face. No one knows nothing about you, basically. But, like, every other person on Mandalorian who's basically sane and, you know, not crazy is like, nah, it's cool. You can see me.
Yeah, have fun with that. Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
They're basically, like, the fundamental religious Mandalorians.
Yes, and Bo, you know, said, you're a child of the Watch, which, if you go back to the flashback from season one, he's rescued by Death Watch.
Yes. So.
So.
That all comes together makes sense now. Yeah, so now we know.
And it makes sense for everything else. Like, you know, that one little throwaway line answers all of our questions from, like, Rebels, from Clone Wars. Like, it answers everything now, basically.
Oh, everything. Yeah. So, that was really nice.
So now people can say that Jango and Boba were actually Mandalorians. Because people were like, they're not Mandalorians because they took off their helmets. Well, they are, I guess, now back to being Mandalorians.
Well, I don't know. We still don't know because they may not have been considered to be Mandalorian.
At least Jango is. Maybe Boba not so much, but...
Yeah, I don't know.
It's a feast to the eyes to see Katie Sackhoff as Bo-Katan and with her short little red hair and her headband too. I'm just like,
yeah,
she looks perfect.
She looks
great. Yeah.
Love it.
I was happy. Happy.
Yeah. And it was winsome and cool to hear her describe, you know, who she is, that she's the last of her line, and it's like, you know, throwing back to Satin and making us sad and
very, very sad. Sad.
Yeah. So wow, it was huge. It was a huge reveal.
And then so she's like, hey, come help us. And he's like, nah. So he flies away, and there's a really pretty shot of them also flying off the ship, and then they blow it up.
Yeah.
It's really, really pretty because the sunset is happening and all these flames and everything. But Mando gets confronted by Cthulhu people, and
you kill my brother,
the Mandos, yes, dispatch with them very quickly.
Yes. So they show back up. They rescue him again.
Yes. Basically she's like, hey, I'm looking for something. I need help taking this ship.
An Imperial ship.
Yes. If you help me, I can help you with your quest, basically. A tit for tat.
She's like, hey, it's full of weapons. It's the Imperials. Let's do this. Come on.
And he's like, okay, sure. So he goes and visits Frog Lady and Frogman.
Yes. Back to the
game. And yes, he leaves Baby Yoda with them, and he's like, behave, and you know what I mean. And
you know what I mean. Okay.
Which is the funniest thing ever. Because, you know, the couple's like, what do you mean? He was a great
I don't
companion.
Know. I think that she caught on. I think she eventually caught on.
Well, I wonder, and then, you know, Baby Yoda just, like, puts his face basically to the glass and is like, I want this.
Yes.
And then we see the eggs finally start hatching.
Yes, so cute.
But my thing is, we left them maybe for like an hour or two, and they're already fertilized and already like growing. It's like,
yeah,
oh,
I don't know. They're a super fast moving evolutionary species.
Y'all move quickly, I see.
Apparently they do.
And so, turns out that all these weapons and stuff, they are on a Gazanti class ship, which we've never seen one in live action before.
It was very cool.
And so they storm the ship, take out a bunch of stormtroopers, and I love one of the Mando's throwaway lines saying, these stormtroopers can't hit the side of a Bantha.
Yes, wasn't that fantastic?
It was great.
It was great.
And
I love the line where they're communicating with the cockpit, and they're like, I don't know, there's like 10 or more of them. And then the other guy who's monitoring the ship, he's like, it's 4 life forms.
It's 4, sir. That's it.
4, sir.
And so basically, they storm the ship. They get what they ask. They get what they need. Bo is saying that we need to take the ship. We need to, you know. And Mando's like, no, this wasn't a part of the deal. The part of the deal was to get the weapons. And she's like, yeah, but I need the ship because I'm after something that's very important to me.
Well, she was like, I've got the deal.
Yeah, we all know what she's talking about, which is the Darksaber.
The Darksaber.
And so eventually they get to storm the bridge before the pilot, or before the commander, gets to take the ship down, because he's just, like, nosediving it down. He's like, well, all right, because
yes,
Gideon's
well, he
like...
he receives orders from Moss Gideon, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, saying, hey, goodbye.
You can't be compromised, so...
Goodbye. Yeah. Which, speaking of which, I absolutely love the fact that they have, like, their own version of, like, cyanide capsules in
yes,
Star Wars.
Yes, that's what I said. That's so cool. Also,
which,
terrible
you've never
painful,
seen that before.
Very cool. Yeah.
Yeah, that's like you bite into a cap, I guess, and you shock yourself or something. I don't know what it is.
It very much makes sense, but cool. Cool.
And so they storm the bridge, they find out what they need, and then they, you know, are about to go on their merry way, and Mando's like, okay, can I get some information, please? And Bo says, go to this planet.
He's asked her to lead them to the Jedi. Because she's like, to return the child.
She's like, I can't, I'm on my own thing, but hey, let me holler at you real quick. And she goes, you know, you can find this, there's a forest planet, I think is what it's called. I can't remember the name
forest
of it right now,
forest.
But
it's the forest.
Yeah, there we
forest.
Go. And there you will find Ahsoka Tano.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, I did not think we were going to get a Bo-Katan and Ahsoka reveal in the same episode.
I screamed at that too, by the way.
Them at all. Yeah, I know.
Yeah. I screamed, which basically means, if I'm doing the calculations right, are we going to see Ahsoka on the next episode?
I would assume no. I would think that we'll probably get a travel to episode. I don't know.
So maybe two more episodes. I don't know.
Because...
But anyway.
Again, the Razor Crest is in really rough shape.
Yes, but then he comes back to it, and he's looking at it, he's like, I gave you 1,000 credits, and this is what you can do, and Mon Calamari's like, yes, this is what we can do, it's a trap!
It's a trap, yeah, no, he basically furnished it in Mon Calamari New Englander aesthetic. Like,
there are fishing nets everywhere.
Why?
It's the funniest thing.
It doesn't
and
make
he
any
climbs
sense.
Aboard... And he just like, oh, he's like, fucking Mon Calamari bastards, god damn it.
Like, yeah, I know. That was like, oh, I'm like, wow, that was kind of racist. I don't know.
I know, right? Like, And so like, he takes
he
off.
He took his 1,000 credits and he just kind of like stapled shit to the sides of the Razor Crest.
Yeah. It's best, like the Razor Crest, it's seen some shit. Like, I don't think it's going
to
make it much farther.
I don't see how this thing, I don't know how it was able to go to light speed, but apparently it could.
Right?
Yeah.
So basically, he takes off. Baby Yoda almost gets attacked by, like, a Sarlacc facehugger thing.
Yeah, what the hell is that?
And then, I assume it's like a baby one of those things, a baby thing that tried to eat him?
Yeah, I guess. It kind of looked like the thing that was in the
I guess.
Too.
I don't know, but so... He eats his little snacky snack and they depart begrudgingly. And the Razor Crest is baby just like, God damn it, folks. If you fuck me up one more time, I'm just going to jettison you both. I don't care.
Yeah.
And that's the end of the episode.
And that's it.
So I give this one a 10 out of 10.
Oh, absolutely. Super 10 out of 10. Yeah.
Not only because of Bryce Dallas Howard's brilliant directing, but we get fucking Bo-Katan.
Yeah, that was amazing.
And so amazing. Katie Sackhoff plays her. Again.
Yeah, it was just perfect. It all felt so right. Oh, this is the Star Wars.
Even though this was the shortest episode of the series so far, or the season so far, excuse me, it was fine. I didn't think it was that short. I didn't mind the length
short.
At all.
It really didn't.
No, it did
short.
Not.
There was so much happening, and it went really well. It didn't feel short. And we
talked about
we had so much revealed. Lots of new information.
So much.
Move the story.
So,
on, got more world building, character building.
Let me ask you a few things then.
Yeah.
So, do you think we will see Bo-Katan this season again since she's after the Darksaber and Gideon has the Darksaber?
I would think that might end up being like penultimate episode and finale kind of thing.
See her just come in and just kick his ass.
Because, so, if the rumors are true that Mando isn't in a bunch of episodes for whatever reason, I mean, maybe we have, like, Bo-Katan rescue team? I don't know. Ahsoka and Bo-Katan rescue team. Yes.
If this is the truth and he's only in 4 episodes, that means that this next one might be his last one.
Yeah. So, I don't know. We don't know. I mean, so far, all of the rumors that we discussed in our previous episode have come to fruition.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. Maybe he will disappear for a few episodes. I don't know.
So we'll find out after this episode if he will be, you know, in a few more or not or whatever the case is. So basically what I mean, Ahsoka is inevitable at this point. She's going to show up this season. Like there's no if, and, or buts about it. I'm pretty sure she's going to show up this season.
Yeah. But I don't know if it'll be right away or if it'll be another one of those like very end of the season kind of reveals.
Yeah. I don't know what's going to be, but, this also raises the question that there was that rumor that Rex will show up as well with Ahsoka.
Yes.
And since Temuera Morrison has been in it so far,
yeah,
he could easily be playing Rex as well.
Yeah. So we've also got the question of is Boba Fett going to show up again? When is Boba Fett going to show up again?
Yes. Personally, I just want there to be a Bo-Katan series.
Oh, that would be so cool. I would watch the crap out of that.
Yeah. So if anyone knows anyone at Lucasfilm, let them know that we want to see a Bo-Katan series.
What if we got a Bo-Katan in the Obi-Wan series?
I would not be mad at that.
Nope.
And by the way, Bo-Katan is supposed to be maybe in her like late 40s, early 50s, and she's still being played by Katie Sackhoff, who looks amazing. So
Katie Sackhoff is in her late 40s.
Oh, is she really?
I feel like...
She didn't look it.
Well, she was in her 20s in... Probably in her late 20s. BSG? In, what's it called? The other show.
Battlestar?
Battlestar, yeah. Katie Sackhoff is 40. Sorry, she's 40.
She looks great, so...
I mean, and we could assume that Bo-Katan was maybe like 20-ish. Maybe. I don't know. Is there an official... Is there an official...
Age of hers? I don't know. Clone Wars? Yeah, not to sure. My knowledge, but...
Also, I just learned that Katie Sackhoff's partner is Carl Urban, so that's cool.
Was Carl Urban.
Oh, yes, I see that. Was Carl Urban. Oh, man, that's sad, because he's awesome.
Also, she's in a show on Netflix called Another Life, and I thought it was really good, so if you haven't seen that, go check it out, because it's fantastic.
Yeah, my husband mentioned that one to me, and I've been meaning to check it out. I need to get back to that.
I really enjoyed it. But anyway, we're not here to plug that show.
Anywho.
We're here to plug our show, which you can find us on Twitter at EchoStationCast. And you can get us our podcast, you can get it wherever you get your podcasts. So just type in Echo Station and we will come up, listen to all of our fun stuff. Chris, where can they find you?
You can find me on Twitter at The Dirt Witch or on Instagram at Chris Jaded.
And you can find me on Twitter at IR Turner, or you can find me on the Instagrams and the Facebooks at House of Turner Cosplay. Like I said before, our Twitter is Echo Station Cast. Give us a follow. Let us know that you like us. We hope you like us, at least. I don't know. But I really cannot wait for the rest of these episodes, because if they're going to be like episode 3 and 1 and even 2, then I think this season's going to be topping the season 1 for sure.
Yes, absolutely. It has been a like, wild ride no question. So far, and I am very much looking forward to the rest of it.
Yes, and just kill off Cara Dune and replace her with Bo-Katan.
Oops, sorry.
Oops. Whoops. No, Oops. Don't kill her off. Maybe kill her off. I don't know.
But bring Bo-Katan to die, because that's like yet another loss for Alderaan, but she's gonna have to go away. She's just gotta go away somehow. Bye-bye.
Sort of like an expedition that she doesn't come back from.
She just doesn't come back, yeah.
But that wraps us up here, guys. We will catch you next time with more Mandafetso on episodes 4 and 5, because we're doing 2 at a time, so it'll be easier for you guys to do it that way. But until then, may the Force be with you.
May the Force be with you.